For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some questions, things that are asked often as I'm in ministry, and I'm preparing still on 1 Peter that's coming, but we're taking a few weeks and just looking at questions, answer. And today I wanted to ask the question, or answer the question that I've been asked at times, what is God like? It's a big question. I'll have children ask that. I'll have adults ask that at times. What is God like? Of course, the greatest place to find those answers is in the Bible. Some people look in different places, but what is God like? We just sang just a few moments ago, right after our greeting time, that I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. But what is God like? Some people think God is like an impersonal force, like Star Wars. Any Star Wars fans? Yeah, the Force. Some impersonable force that kind of controls things. Perhaps people think of God as this thunderous voice that only speaks. You watch movies, and if God ever speaks in that movie, he's always this hello, you know, this deep, resonating bass voice. And some people think of God like that, and people don't want to hear that kind of voice because it means we're in trouble. Some imagine God as an elderly grandfather. Oh, he's just nice. You can go sit up on his knee. You can tell him what you want for Christmas. He'll hug you. He forgives you for everything. And he can't hear that well anyway, so if you say anything you're not supposed to, he didn't hear it, you know, all those things. So people imagine God sometimes like an elderly grandfather. Can't see, can't hear. Some people consider God as a condemning evil judge. God's up in heaven just looking for you to mess up. He's wanting to just squash you like a bug. Oh, look at that child down there who's messed up. Oh, yeah! There are people who imagine God like that. And most of those people aren't sitting in here today. And that's why. Because they imagine God as just a God who wants to just destroy them, I suppose. One time a little girl was talking to her mother and showing her a picture. Look, Mommy, I've drawn a picture of God. And she goes, well, honey, you can't really draw a picture of God. Nobody knows what he looks like. Little girl says, well, now they'll know. You know, she drew it. You know, so there are people trying to imagine what God is like. When when Jesus came to earth, he gave us what I believe is a clear picture of what God is like in the disciples' prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer is what it's often called, but the Lord's Prayer is actually in John 17 when Jesus prays. But when Jesus gave the disciples a model prayer in Matthew, and we'll put this up on the screen, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it's actually also in your handout today, pray then like this. And these two words, I think God, or Jesus captures, this is what I want you to imagine God like. Our Father. He's got many things to say, but in this chapter alone, he references God as Father 12 times. He's putting special emphasis. I want you to imagine God like a father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. A little boy volunteered to pray. He says, I want to pray to Harold. Who's that? They asked. Well, our Father in heaven, Harold be your name. That's what he had heard. Another boy says, no. It's our Father in heaven. How do I know your name? Even the simplicity of Jesus' teaching can be lost sometimes in the church. Perhaps because our Father is such a radical idea, Jesus puts it right in the forefront. Names and titles of God are very important. Even in our own lives, names and titles are very important. But God wants us to know him primarily as Father, not primarily as creator or just provider or just being omnipotent or omnipresent. Even the great Old Testament names like Jehovah Mekadesh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sitkenu. All those are important names of God, but when Jesus came down, he didn't quote those. He said, our Father. Perhaps it's because he wanted us to focus on God as a person and not just a power. See, a person is someone we can relate with. A power, a provider, is just something that's done for us. But primarily, if we would have a relationship with God as a personal relationship with him, all other things can be added. But until we know him intimately as a father, Someone who cares for us, someone who loves us, someone who draws us close, someone we don't have to always understand everything about, but we can trust him and rest in his presence. That's where Jesus focused when he says, you want to think about God? What is God like? Think about him as a father. Our problem with that in our culture, and probably in many cultures throughout the world and throughout history, is that many people have such a negative image of a father. When I say father, even some in this room have feelings of fear or guilt, frustration, regret, unhappiness. Quite frankly, some fathers make life on earth a living hell. I trust that wasn't in your situation, but I'm not certain. You know, some mother's biggest threat at home was what? You just wait until your... I mean, you pull out the daddy card when he gets home. Well, what are they expecting when dad comes home? It's not going to be good. And so some people grab that idea that they had such a negative view of an image what a father is, and then they go to church and they say, well, you know, God is just like a father. And they're like, if he's anything like my dad, I don't want anything to do with God. I think I struggled with that early on in my life. Like, why would I want a God that's just like the various men that try to call themselves father in my life? And so I want to know who God really is, not what the tainted view of what earthly, imperfect men can provide. Jesus clarifies what kind of father this is. You see the text. Pray then like this. Our Father, what's the next two words? In heaven. I'm not necessarily convinced that this is talking about a location or an address. I think it's actually putting an emphasis what kind of father. This is a father who's unlike anything earthly. There's a father here who is perfect. Not like a father here on earth who is imperfect. As good as fathers can be on this earth, they're still not perfect. But there is a God who is a heavenly father, a perfect father, one that you can trust, one you, when you call out to, you know he is sufficient. He is more than you need. He is one who will come and be everything that you can't even imagine right now. So he distinguishes. No matter what your view of a earthly father is, I want you to see in Jesus' words that there is a perfect father. And we should long to have him as our perfect father. I want to share with you four things today in our time remaining. What kind of father is God? If we ask what is God like? Well, I want to narrow that down in that focus because it's such a broad category. What kind of father is God? And let me give you four things. Here's the first one I want you to write down. God is a caring father. And that's a weighty word, this caring. He's a caring father who is perfect, if I could just add that to it. God is a caring father. I want you to write down Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. It's up on the screen. You can see it as we ask these questions and we write these things up on the blackboard. As a father shows compassion, you see these words up on the screen in Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion, and we know there are many compassionate earthly fathers. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He's a compassionate father. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. We're nothing without him. He can hold all things together. He is a compassionate father. From the Old Testament all the way back to the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter writes these words, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Do you see that? Anybody here today have some anxieties in your life or have had some recently? Maybe we're not willing to confess that. Oh, no, I don't have anxieties in my life because I just trust God. Well, even this morning, I'm a little anxious right now. Well, let me just be transparent with you. Coming into the service is an exciting day, and my 5-year-old Thaddeus is playing outside apparently. I didn't know what was taking place. He hurt himself. He comes in here, and some people notice he had blood coming out of the back of his head. And so certainly that startles, you know, everybody around. And so my wife and Marie Leon have now taken him to the hospital because it is opened, and I'm not quite sure any more details on that. So I'm sitting here going, well, honey, let me just go with you. No, we've got to take care of. Don't worry. Don't be anxious, she's telling me. You just take care of the congregation, and I'll take care of Thaddeus. I'm like, I would much rather, and as much as I love you guys, I'd much rather be there than be here. But you know what I have to do? I have to apply the message today as well. I don't need to be anxious about anything. You know, he was living and breathing when he left. He was crying, but he was alive. And God is the God who can care about my son and care for me. He takes care of all things. So we don't just look at the scriptures just so we can have some head knowledge. We actually have to apply this stuff. And I'm like going, Lord, remove my anxiety. Let me just cast all that on you, and I'll just trust you. You're going to take care of them. And then I'll be over there as soon as the service is over to go see them. But God cares for us. He's a caring Father. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32 goes on with the next slide. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father, your perfect Father, knows that you need them all. He's got you covered. He cares for you. You don't have to be worried about things. There is a caring Father whom we can trust. Once in a while, someone will say, I'm struggling in life. I think my problem is that I just don't love God enough. I'm trying to, but I just don't love God enough. And you know, I think when I hear that, perhaps that is true. We certainly should heighten our desires and passion and love for God. But maybe the biggest problem is that it's not that we don't love God enough. Maybe we just haven't realized how much God loves us. We are faulty and failures, and we'll never love God completely as much as we ought to. But He is the perfect Father who loves us completely. And if we'd learn to rest in His care and love, I think a lot of other things would be taken care of. See, love is a response to love. Why do we love Him? Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 tells us that He loved us first. Because of His dynamic, overwhelming, compassionate love for us, we then receive that and we're able to love Him back. He's a caring Father, a compassionate Father, and He's a God who loves you. Here's the second thing I want you to see in the text. Point number two, what kind of Father is God? God is a consistent Father. He's a dependable God. He's reliable. He can be counted upon. He's worthy of your trust. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. What kind of God is this? He's a consistent God. He's not shifting with every wind of mood. He is always the same. No variation. No subject to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we consider God, Father, who is compassionate, He's also consistent, unlike any earthly father. See, some fathers are unpredictable. You never know which father you're about to get. One minute he's silent, the next minute, he's violent. You know any men like that? Some fathers are unreliable. They say one thing, yet they do another. They promise much and deliver very little. Some fathers are so inconsistent that you know what it produces is insecure children. If you're inconsistent and the child never knows what to expect, oh, I don't know, is daddy going to be happy? Is daddy going to be sad? Is he going to fulfill his promise, or is he just going to disappoint me again? What it builds in your children is an insecurity. But the Bible reveals a God who is a caring Father and a consistent Father. God is not a moody God. God is consistent in who He is and His holiness. One guy asked his friend, do you wake up moody in the morning? And he says, no, I let her sleep. That's not what we're referring to here. God is not moody. He is not uncontrollable. He is not unpredictable. He is not unreliable. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, listen to me, what kind of God is He? He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. He's a God who is consistent. Even when all those around us are unpredictable, everything is chaos, God is still faithful. One thing that we can always count on is God's consistency. Do you know what the number one problem between children and parents are? Perhaps it's debatable, but where is there more hurt feelings and a lack of trust in the home? Number one cause I've seen is resentment between a parent and a child is when there are broken promises. Once again, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to do it, and then you fail to do it, and it just breaks trust. It breaks hope. One day we sit down and play with dolls. One day we'll go fishing. One day we'll buy a gift, we say, and it never happens. Psalm 18, verse 30. Says here, this God, unlike any earthly father, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord, what he says, proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. No matter what kind of example you've seen in an earthly realm, listen to me, when I say there is a God who is compassionate, and I say that God is consistent, realize he has been faithful and true for all generations, and he's not going to fail you now. You can take refuge in him. God promises, and he keeps his promises. Sometimes people will say, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I think truly we ought to just say, God says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Because God is always true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's the third thing I want you to see in the scriptures about God. God is a close father. He's a close father. He's always available. At the point that you just cry out to him, he is already there. He's there when we need him. He's there when we ignore him. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. In Acts chapter 17, verse 27, look at this. It says that they should seek God, talking about the Gentiles and all need to seek God. They should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet, listen, he is actually not far from each one of us. God is already here. God is a close father. In today's world, many children grow up with absentee fathers. Some because of divorce, and so they're at a distance. Others because fathers are in the home, but just never home. Or when they're home, they're not engaged, they're not in tune, they're not even communicable with anyone. Never home for important dates, events, missing ball games, school events, or they're just watching television or on their phone or simply disconnected. Physically present, but mentally and emotionally detached and aloof. These are some of the fathers that are surrounding our United States and all over the world. Let me give you three things I think will be helpful. This is just three subpoints, if you will. Some encouraging facts about God. God, number one, God is never too busy for me. God's not on his cell phone. He's not distracted on Facebook. You're coming to him, and he's not holding this paper up going, when is your prayer over? He's not like that at all. Listen to this verse, Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. God never says, not now, not now, maybe later. He never blows you off. He never rolls his eyes. God is never too busy for you. Second thing you need to know about God is that God loves to meet my needs. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and as good as earthly people are, he still considers us evil without the power of God. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, and you've got to emphasize that, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is a close Father who is not too busy for you and loves to meet your needs. Do you want the best for your children? Even your adult children. How many of you have adult children? Do you still pray for them? Do you still want the best for them? Absolutely. You want the best. You want them to live rightly and do the right things and be blessed. You want them, all children, to have a good education, a good home, good clothes, a good future. If that's true for us, fallen, sinful people, how much more does God want the best, His best for us? Third thing, an encouraging fact, is this. God is sympathetic to my hurts. In Psalm 34, verse 18, up on the screen, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. When you hurt, God heals. When you grieve, God comforts. When you are lost, God guides. When you are at your wit's end, God is there to give you a new beginning. Some of you came in here today and you're downright troubled in your own spirit. Perhaps you've lost a loved one in the last year. Perhaps at work you've been having some difficulties. Perhaps you had a fight with your spouse in the last 24 hours. Perhaps you've got some kids that are rebelling and you're brokenhearted over it. Perhaps you kind of own that last phrase, you're crushed in your own spirit today. Listen to me, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He wants to meet you where you are. He wants to care. He's consistent, and He is close, and He wants to heal that. Would you call out to Him? He's not very far from us, any of us. The last thing I want to share with you, and number four, is this. God is a caring Father and a consistent Father. He's a very close Father, but lastly, God is a capable Father. Nothing is too hard for God. Would you say that to remind yourself? Just say this. Nothing is too hard for God. Say that. Nothing is too hard for God. Oftentimes I think we forget how capable God is. And the reason I believe that sometimes we fail that is because when I'm counseling with people or I'm interacting with folks throughout the week, they're anxious about things, they're struggling, they're mad, they're whatever. And I say, have you paused just to pray and ask God for His wisdom, ask God for His strength, ask God for His comfort in this? No, I hadn't had time. Are you thinking that God is incapable of helping you and helping the situation right now? Or do you trust that God the Father has more than enough? Are we truly knowing that God is great and that we, like a toddler, just say, Daddy, help? Or are we acting more like, and I apologize for the phrase over here, okay? Are we acting like teenagers? I don't need anybody. I know everything because I'm 16. No offense. I'm going to have to hear about that later, you understand. Sometimes adults act like teenagers when they say, I don't need God. I've got it all figured out, and I'll just consult with Him later and ask Him why He didn't help me when I didn't even ask. You know, listen to me, God is a capable Father, and if we truly trusted Him, we would be at His feet more often asking, help me, I don't know what I'm doing, I am just dust here on this planet, I need You, and I know You are more than enough. He's a capable Father. Too many of us carry around our own difficulties, our own burdens, and we do not ask for His help that He would carry these things for us and give us the wisdom and the strength and the growth that we need. We have to believe He is capable and trust Him with our needs. One of the other difficulties I think we have too is when we do turn it over to God, sometimes we go and grab it back out of His hands. We say, God, would You take care of this? This is what we say at 7 a.m. in the morning. We're in our prayer closet. God, would You carry this? By 10 o'clock, we're already grabbing it back and saying, I've got a plan, without any consultation from the Father. When Jesus was preparing for that day on the cross, actually the night before, and He's in the garden praying, we just, you know, observe the Lord's Supper. And before that all took place, He's in the garden, He's praying, the Lord's Prayer in a sense. But in Mark chapter 14, I love these words. In Mark chapter 14, He calls out, Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. You know, if this cup could have been taken from me, you know, that'd be great. But, you know, You are the one that I know is all things are possible for You. The most intimate expression when praying to the Father was Abba, Daddy, close one. It's not just a distant title. It's someone that I'm intimately in relationship with. All things are possible for you. Paul picked up on this same phrase and encourages us to do the same in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. We'll put that up on the screen. In Romans 8, you have received the Spirit. Every child of God has the Spirit of God. If you've confessed your sins, you've repented, and you've received all that Christ has for you, you've been filled with the Spirit, and you have received the Spirit as adoptions as sons and daughters by whom we now cry, Abba, Father. Intimate relationship with the God on high who is capable and caring and consistent. When I come home from a day of work or from a long trip, what do you think my children say to me? At least the youngest ones, when I come home. Daddy's home. This is why I like dogs and not cats as well, too. You go out and get the mail, and you come back, and the dog acts like you've been gone 100 years, and he just wants to be all over you. You have a cat, they go, where you been? Anyway, how many cat people do we have? Yeah, okay, yeah. I'll pray for you. You know, these independent creatures, I think it wasn't a serpent in the garden, it was a cat. Just awful. All right, but with kids, we walk in, and at least when they're younger, there's like, Daddy's home. I mean, there's nothing like Abigail, who, 3 years old, and she gets excited. So much so, when she hears the garage door open, she runs out in the garage and gets in my way where I can't even park. It's exciting to me that she is so eager. I'm like, would you preserve that, God, at least for the ninth child? Would you preserve that forever? What about our relationship with God? Do we cry out, God is near, God is here. He's the provider of our lives. He's everything. He is daddy to us. That's how God wants us to relate with him. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, just once again in the scriptures, for nothing will be impossible with God. This God, my daddy is bigger than your daddy. All right? My God is bigger than any made-up God in this world. Because he's real. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. I consider the biggest difficulty of whatever we're going through, whatever obstacle standing in our way, I cry out, it's Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? It's almost as if he's saying, consider all those obstacles, consider all the difficulties, all the hardships you have, and why don't you just test me? I am the Lord, I'm the God of everything. Do you think that that's going to be too hard for me? Are you trusting in me and my capabilities to take care of that? A true child knows that his daddy can take care of everything. Now, in my own home, my children have tested that. They find the most random things to break throughout the house, throughout the day. I don't know what happens throughout the day, but I come home and there's a honey-do list of things. Oh, have you checked the bathroom sink? Oh, we've got a problem over here. Oh, no, this little thing broke. But it's okay. Why? Because daddy can fix it. Did anybody else grow up in a household where daddy had to fix everything? Listen, I didn't grow up in a home with a daddy who knew how to fix everything, and so when we broke it, we just, like, moved. I don't know. We didn't know how to fix anything. I am like Tim the Tool Guy. I try, but I don't know what I'm doing. And so, I am not capable of a lot of things that my children just test me on. But listen to me, in all of the world, let's not go out and try to break things for God. But you know what? There are a lot of things broken in this life because we live in a fallen world. And rather than try to hide them, that happens sometimes. I'll find something that's been broken for a month, but it was hidden in a closet or something. All right, rather than try to hide things from God, why don't you just bring it out and say, I've got this broken stuff in my life. Maybe by someone else who's broke it, or maybe by your own self, you broke it. Why not just confess it? Oh God, I know I made a mess of this. But you're a loving God, I'm convinced. You're consistent. You've been helping people for generation after generation. And God, I know that you are capable to even put all of this brokenness together to make it whole. Look out the windows. Look, do you see the windows we have here? They've been here a long time. We talked about a little over a year ago. Won't we open those up and just make them clear so you can see out and let the light come in? And I think that would be fine. There were some other churches doing it. It was recommended to us, but I'm glad we chose not to do that. They're beautiful, by the way, but they're not perfect. They're not pure. You can't see out. You can't see in. But what is it? It's a collection of broken things all put together and showing beauty. That is a representation of your life. That you thought you were perfect, but really your life shattered, and God began to put the different pieces all together, and they're different colors based on all the different experiences you've had. This window is not exactly like that one. There's not exact window here. They all have some similarities. They have some similar colors, but the pattern is not the same. You're like one of those windows. And when we just say, God, all the brokenness of my life, I know you're capable of putting it together for your glory and my joy, that's a good father. A good, good father. And you're loved by the God who can put your life together to make something beautiful from it. God can do anything. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God can supply all of our needs and far more. Now, the truth about all this is that God is caring and consistent, and he's close and he's capable. But to have that kind of father, you must be his child. We are all creations of God. We know that. But it takes a relationship to have a father-child relationship. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it states, for in Christ Jesus, and that's the foundation, you have to have a relationship with Christ Jesus and have faith in him and the work on the cross that he did, the resurrection. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. So many people who may claim, I'm a child of God. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you surrender to him? No. Then you're a creation of God, and he loves you greatly, but you must have faith in Christ to be a son or daughter of God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to who? The Father, except through him. Oh, how the world needs to hear this. John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It takes two things. You've got to believe in Christ, and you've got to receive him as your Savior and Lord. And then you know this Father that I've spoken of. How close are you to being a child of God? It takes both believing and receiving. You may believe there is a God, but have you received his forgiveness? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe today you could become a child of God if you're not. Make it right. You can start a relationship with the greatest Father who will love you more than you've ever known. And for those who are a child of God, you know you've received Christ. Perhaps today is just another opportunity for you to say, God, I need to realize how much you love me today. That I would cast all my anxieties on you. That all the obstacles, I know that you are more than capable, and I'm just going to turn those things over to you. And once again, stop trying to lead you, but just be your child and follow you. Walk in step with your Spirit, because you are the God who loves me and has invited me to be a part of your family. As we conclude today, I'm going to have someone to my right and my left that's a prayer counselor, someone who could help you if you just need some prayers today. Perhaps you need to receive Jesus Christ. Maybe you just want to join the church, and certainly you can let us know about that or some other prayer need. This is the time to respond now and continual, that we want to respond to the Heavenly Father. It's also our time to receive our offering, and I'm going to have our ushers at the back, moving from the back forward, receiving those. But as you have a desire, a need, you have your prayer time in your seat or have your prayer time up here. I'm going to invite the band to come up, and they'll play for us, and then we'll conclude. But let me pray for us as we begin. Father, thank you for the day that you've given us. We call it Father's Day, but every day is your day. The greatest tragedy today would be that we miss relating with the greatest Father of all. God, you are our Father, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship. So I pray for every person in this room that today they would settle that in their own heart and mind, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that they are a child of yours. And then as children of God, we would cling to you. We would seek you out more. We would trust you more. And we would truly be the child that you are wanting us to be. Father, as we receive our offering today, may we use that wisely to the furtherance of your kingdom, that more people could hear the gospel message and come to faith in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.